We're working our way down our covenants here. Last week we had reference to Noah, the second from the top. Today we have Abraham sacrificing Isaac, and there's a reference in the gospel to Moses giving the law. Moses is the lawgiver, and Elijah is the prophet, summed up and fulfilled in Jesus. So every Lent, the first Sunday is always about Jesus being tempted in the desert. Second Sunday is always about the transfiguration. But each of the three-year cycle, other readings are given. So today we have this reading about Abraham and the reading from St. Paul to the Romans about if God is for us, who can be against us? So let's kind of parse out what the church is trying to tell us by putting these three readings together. First thing is, Jesus has just predicted his passion to the disciples, and they are distraught about it. And Peter says, oh, we won't let them do that to you. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You're thinking like humans do. God doesn't think that way. But they're so distraught that Jesus takes them up on a high mountain where they experience the transfiguration. They experience him transformed, transfigured into divinity. In that vision, they are seeing the fullness of divinity and the fullness of humanity in the body of Jesus, and it's transfigured. His clothes become dazzling white. It's like the experience of pure light. And they're so terrified, they hardly know what to say. And Moses and Elijah appear on either side of Jesus, conversing with him. You know, there's something in a mystical experience that transcends time and space. Just like for God, there is no time, and there is no limitation of space, because God is infinite. And Jesus expresses in his transfiguration the infinity of God, so it's timeless. Moses and Elijah lived centuries before Jesus, and yet here they are, conversing with him. And he is still in his earthly body as Jesus of Nazareth, and yet they are experiencing him in his glorified body as he is in the kingdom already realized for him. You see how time just collapses in these mystical experiences. But we also say that time collapses in liturgy. So this is the Last Supper. This is Mass here in Manhattan in 2024. This is the meal of the kingdom of the future. Time collapses. It's all one moment. This is a kind of a mystical experience that we have every Sunday when we celebrate Eucharist. And we worship. And these readings today give us an inkling of what worship is. First of all, these things happen on mountains. And mountains are transcendent moments in the Bible. Moses goes up on Mount Sinai and speaks to God face to face, and he's so transfigured by the experience that when he comes back down, his face is so brilliant that they have to veil his face. They can't look at him. A human being being transfigured before their eyes. And Abraham goes up on Mount Moriah to offer sacrifice, to worship. And what is he offering? God has asked him to give up the most valuable possession he has. And that happens to be Isaac, his son. You see, Abraham had wanted a son for his whole life. Because in those days, before belief in the resurrection of each person, they believed that you lived on in your descendants. And so the more descendants you had, the more you lived on. It was a kind of an immortality in a limited sense. And so Abraham fully believes that concept. And he's been praying for a son. And finally, at the age of 80, Isaac is born. And about 5 or 6 years later, he's asked to give up Isaac, which is a way of saying, give up your own life. For you, this is immortality. This is your life, and I'm asking you to give it up. And he does, or at least he's willing to. So, in that, he does perfect worship. Perfect worship is participating in the generous, self-giving act that is in God. And we speak of this often here. In the Trinity, the three persons are self-offering to the other two and receiving that back in this dance of love that's for all eternity. And when humans are invited into divine life, a big part of what that means is to lay down your life, to be willing to self-offer. And so here in the Mass, we're always laying our lives on the altar along with Christ and offering ourselves up to the Father along with Christ. His self-offering on the cross is a model for us. And he's always beckoning us into that, a share in that divine life. So he told his disciples shortly before this transfiguration experience, you must follow me. You must take up your cross and go to your own personal Calvary, your own personal Jerusalem. And so part of our Christian life is asking the perennial question, what is my Calvary today? In what way am I laying down my life today? What is being asked of me by God to participate in divine life? So when Jesus says, follow me, he's asking them to self-offer. And of course, they don't want to do it. Who does? I mean, in that second reading to the Romans, St. Paul says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not give up on giving his own son for our salvation. If God would be that generous, then how can we worry about death? How can we worry about what comes tomorrow? Because God is on our side. God gave the most infinitely generous act that could be done for our salvation, and that is he gives his life. So generosity is a big part of the Christian life. Learning how to be generous. And so Lent is that season where we take a particular look at that, and we're invited to pray more, to fast, and to give alms. So the giving alms is the putting flesh into that. It's not just praying, and it's not just fasting, but it's reaching in our pocket, you know. It's learning how to physically give ourselves in small little ways, but they all count. They all make us who we are. Prayer makes us who we are. Fasting makes us who we are. And almsgiving, learning how to be as generous as God is generous. That's how we learn to really lay down our lives. That's how we learn to self-offer. That's how we learn to worship. That's how we learn to accept the invitation to divine life. And so in the Transfiguration, the voice from above says, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. When he tells you to take up your cross and follow him, listen to that. And ask yourself over and over again what that means today. And trust in the promise of everlasting life. Jesus says, don't tell anyone about this until the Son of Man rises from the dead. And so they kept it to themselves, but they were wondering what it meant to rise from the dead. And isn't that the perennial question? What does it mean to rise from the dead? What does that mean to me today? In what way am I willing to lay down my life because I trust in the resurrection? Because I believe that not just in some future day, but even today, my deaths are risings too. That the ways that I'm generous comes back to me 100-fold. The ways that I'm losing and letting go and laying down of my own personal autonomy and all that sort of thing builds the community which builds me. What does it mean to rise from the dead? To listen to Jesus means to immerse ourselves in that mystery, to keep asking those questions and to keep doing the things, to be generous, to be compassionate, to be merciful, to be community, to let go of ourselves and build up the body of Christ.